As Pastor Joseph said, my name is Donald Barnard. I pretty much grew up in this town since 1999. We first moved here when my grandfather was ill. There should be a picture up there for Ben to put up on the screen. The man behind me is my grandfather, Donald Wilfred Lauzon. He was the source of light of the Lord in my life and that of my family. When he passed away in 2003, it was a devastating loss. During that time, I didn't have much love for the Lord because he took my grandfather away from me. 16 years later, I have finally come to terms that the Lord didn't call my grandfather away. He called him home. During those intervening 16 years, I've avoided one song, Be Not Afraid. It was my grandfather's favorite song, and to this day, I have not listened to it. Today, that's going to change. But back to the 16 years, I was lost. It was extremely hard for me to find my place in any of the churches in this town. I lived in Calgary for a year, tried being a Jehovah's Witness. That didn't work out. Moved back into town, tried again, still didn't work out. I tried going back to my old church, Christ the King. Felt out of place there. Tried being a Mormon. Definitely didn't work out. When Vicki Miller brought me to this church, I felt like I was home. And so today, I am thankful that you are welcoming me into this very large family of believers. And the start of my journey happened on October 22nd, 2017, with Pastor Art, who is no longer in this church. I wish he could be here today to see this, but unfortunately he's elsewhere. Where? I do not know, but he does. I think that's all I have on my mind. If Ben could cue up the song.
I was going to pray for you, and we'll listen to the song. Lord Jesus, thanks for Donald. Thanks for his willingness to serve faithfully, sound, a technology ministry. Thank you for his openness to your spirit, drawing him. Thank you for your life, Holy Spirit, that is in him. Father, we thank you that he is with us, and he's been part of the family already. And we thank you for this step of formal membership that we get to see today and welcome him into the formal membership of the church. And pray that your spirit would continue to draw him deeper and deeper with you. And yeah, that he would not be afraid, that because your love casts out all fear. We just praise you and thank you for what you have done and will do in Donald's life. In Jesus' name. Well, it's a privilege to have a formal prayer and invitation. They've already shared their testimonies. You already know, many of you know them. Matt and Megan we brought them into formal membership at our budget meeting on Monday. But we just want you guys to come up, and we just love praying for you. So we're just going to keep praying for you, and we're going to just welcome them formally through prayer into membership at Faith Community Baptist Church. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for my friends, our friends, Matt and Megan Hirsch. Thank you so much for all that you've already been doing in them in the short time they've been with us. Thank you for their family. Protect them, strengthen them, lead them, empower them to minister as powerfully as you already have been, and continue to increase that level of power in them as they minister to the youth. Just thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to be members of our church. We're just so happy to have them. May you bless them and keep them, make your face shine upon them, be gracious unto them. Lift up your wonderful face upon Matt, Megan, and Lucas, and Sully, and Theo, and give them your precious peace. In Jesus' name. Well, we've been hearing lots of stories, and been going right along the same lines as I was thinking about and praying about this morning and this week. We look at the continue to look at the passage in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. Last week we looked at Tamar and Judah. This week we want to just touch on Rahab a little bit. A little bit of David. We'll see how that goes. I need to leave David till next week. Well, you have your Bibles, tablets, whatever works best for your reading. Please turn with me to Matthew 1. I'm just going to be reading from verses 1 through 6 today. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Abinadab, Abinadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salomon, Salomon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. We read this list, and sometimes when you think of a genealogy, it's kind of one of those ones, as I mentioned last week, you just want to skip over. But there's messages in here. There's a message of grace. The message of redemption is in this place. And I had the privilege on Friday night to attend the Claire's Home Singers concert at the United Church. And love going in some of the older churches and seeing those stained glass windows. I got to thinking, even this morning, about this passage and about stained glass windows and the connection I think the Holy Spirit was making there. We see a lot of brokenness in this genealogy, don't we? There is a lot of sin. There's a whole lot of sin in here. And yeah, we don't know where some of these men and women are. We don't know if they're in heaven, if they're not. But there's a lot of brokenness there. And I think of these stained glass windows, and they don't necessarily make them the same way they used to, but in the olden days, you would take broken pieces of glass, colored pieces of glass, and what would you do with them? You'd put them together in a frame, right? And they're not much by themselves, and oftentimes they may even cut you, but you put them together in a wonderful piece of art, and you put it in a window, and you know what was beaming out into Claire's home on Friday night from the United Church? The stained glass window of Jesus' crucifixion. What a wonderful message of hope. What beams out from this brokenness is the plan of salvation that God put in place from the time of Genesis chapter 3. From the time even of Genesis chapter 12, where we read of the promise to Abraham, I will make you great, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. All the nations of the world will be blessed through you. Do you know what? That blessing is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We are Abraham's descendants because of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful plan from the very beginning that God was working out in our midst. All those broken pieces, all the brokenness that sin brought upon the world and continues to bring upon the world was taken upon, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled and he took all of humanity's sin upon himself. All of it. We are so thankful for that. We can believe in that today. I want to look briefly at the brokenness of one of these particular names on this list, Rahab. The second woman on this list. Again, To have a woman in the list of a Jewish genealogy is unheard of. Really unheard of. But Rahab was the key, one of the keys, to the Promised Land. One of the keys. She was a woman with a very disputable or disrespectful past. She was also foreign and a Gentile woman. To have a Gentile in the genealogy of a Jew, ooh, yikes, look out. But God, again, looks beyond the outward appearance and the sinfulness of a person to further the plans that he has. Those plans were to bring the nation into the Promised Land, and ultimately to bring the promised Messiah to earth. I encourage you to read Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6 this week to just refresh your mind a little bit about Rahab and the Battle of Jericho. Well, I want to just bring a question out that I have always wondered about and got the answers to over the years, but just want to remind us of something. Sometimes we can get caught up on things. Why would God use this type of person? I'm going to answer that already. Even when she lied. Because she lies, right? She says, well, the Israelite spies, they're not here. They've gone over here and they, you know, send the these men who are searching for them on a wild goose chase. Why would she? And she, as Rahab, we read about her and her testimony here as well as in Hebrews 11. Of course, Joshua 2 and 6, as I said before. Rahab's faith is actually spoken of in 8 places in the scripture. Very interesting. Well, why? Well, her faith is always mentioned first, not her falsehood. Not the falsehood that was there. So what are some of the reasons? Just to unpack this for a couple minutes. What are some of the reasons why she would have lied? One, Rahab was simply deceiving the enemy, a normal and acceptable practice in wartime. Right? Number 2, because Rahab was not a Jew, she could not be held responsible to keep the moral standards set out forth in God's law. Number 3, Rahab broke a lesser principle, telling the truth to uphold a higher principle, protecting God's people. Just some thoughts, not saying those are thus saith the Lord, but some contemplative thoughts for us this morning to think on. Rahab had to make a choice, and she had to make it quickly. Would we have made any different a choice? Think of yourself. Put yourself in Rahab's position for a second. Would we have done anything different? God does not demand perfect judgment in all situations. He simply asks us to put our trust in him and do the best we know how. It's interesting to think of. Think of a modern-day example, war example. Deception is an important part of war strategy, right? How many of you know what the word espionage means, right? What is espionage? Well, espionage is basically telling your enemy something different than what you're actually going to do, right? There's that deception. So either you lead your enemy in a different direction than what you're actually saying. And really, without what Rahab did, it was one of the first cases of espionage in the Old Testament. There's actually a couple more there as well, within different battles. When Rahab hid the spies, she sided with Israel against her own people. It really was an act of treason. Think of this for a second. D-Day, World War II. We purposely let the Germans believe we were going to invade France at Palaise, when our intention was to invade the beaches of Omaha and Utah at Cherbourg, France. Right? So we have this historical example of espionage, of deception. And God used that deception for his purposes, for his plans. And we don't always understand that. That's kind of a big thing to understand. But God commended Rahab for her faith. That's the most important thing we need to remember. Rahab's faith, not her falsehood. I want to speak for a few minutes on the symbolism of what we all remember about Rahab, even more than her deception, was the scarlet cord. Very interesting symbolic representation. A scarlet cord. Scarlet was something we read that color had royal meaning to it, had royalty written all over it. And we read of so much of that throughout the Old Testament, such places as Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. Other occurrences of this symbolism within the Old Testament, of course, we go back to the Exodus. The blood of the lamb on the doorposts in Egypt, scarlet. We read in the, which we didn't mention last week, but there was a scarlet band that was tied around Tamar's son Zerah's wrist. Scarlet was used throughout the tabernacle and temple to connotate royalty, the royalty of God. And, of course, we know every Easter we celebrate and remember Jesus being clothed with a robe of scarlet and then mocked. So scarlet has a color, as a symbol throughout Old and New Testament, has a great meaning for us to think about. And God rescues Rahab because of that. Not just because of her scarlet cord, but that was part of the deal. But it points to a deeper saving, a deeper redemption that takes place through the whole story line of Scripture, doesn't it? We read in Hebrews that the only way that the forgiveness of sins comes is by the shedding of blood. Right? That scarlet cord spoke and symbolically showed a deliverance had taken place. The deliverance had taken place. A deal was made, of course. And I wonder, for just a few minutes, can I get you to use your glorified imaginations? Can you imagine Rahab's neighbors for just a minute? The Bible is silent, because there is a period of time between when Rahab and the spies connected and when Jericho's walls fell, right? Think about that time when the scarlet cord was outside of her window. What would her neighbors be saying? Obviously, they had to see it. Just think about that for a minute. The Bible leaves us in a mystery for what the reactions were. But why in the world would this prostitute put a scarlet cord outside her window? You doing your laundry, Rahab? It's kind of hanging a little low for that laundry. Are you... you know, waiting for a male friend to come and visit? Some of those kind of comments might come, of course, because of her profession. Just think about that for a minute. And the reactions, the responses that she may have given to those who were inquiring. Was she the first Old Testament evangelist? Female evangelist? No. Jesus talked to a woman who had five husbands and sent her back, and then there was many who found out. Right? Interesting. Interesting. Well, just a little review for us of the ladies involved in this genealogy. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. We've talked on Tamar, we've talked on Rahab. You know, we wonder, well, why, and we've talked about the brokenness and grace, redemption. You know, Ruth, she was very righteous, but yet she was a foreigner, right? Foreigner. And finally, Bathsheba. We all know the story of Bathsheba. Her sin was so terrible that Matthew blushed at the thought of even mentioning her name, probably. Maybe even with Tamar as well. Any of these, right? David slept with her, and while he should have been out fighting the wars, it says right in Samuel, in the days the kings went out to war, David stayed home. Bad move, Dave. Bad move. Yeah. Need to go out to war. Need to do what you've been called to do. That speaks to us too, doesn't it? Sometimes we've been called to do something and then might not look quite as immoral, shall we say, as this, but God calls us to do something and then We stay home, so to speak. Then David had to do the big cover-up, right? How many of us love that big cover-up? So much of that has happened in our modern world today. Murder, drunkenness, then murder. Wow. Each of these women were either sexually immoral or they came from a nation of unbelieving people, yet God chose to use them in spite of their pasts. So I want to say to you today, folks, we don't care what you've done in your past. Don't care what the mistakes you've made or what sins you've committed. Don't care how long you've run from God. We've heard about that already today. Or maybe how many people you've hurt or been hurt by. I want to say to you, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He paid for it all. Jesus paid for it all. No matter what your past may look like, no matter where you are, what you may not be able to relate with any of these ladies in this particular genealogy. Jesus is here to say today, in this season of Advent, come, I love you. Come to me. All you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you hope. As this candle we just lit a few minutes ago says, there's hope in Christ. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope for your present and your future. And that Jesus wants to throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He wants to throw those away. Don't let your past determine your present or your future. Give Jesus your heart and your life today and every day. Allow him to open you up to new possibilities, new potential. Maybe some of you are like a girl I met in North Africa. 11 years ago, I had the memory come up this week on Facebook. Some of you maybe saw it. Going to an orphanage. I think the lambs are gone now. But yeah, I can relate with the orphanage thing. Lovely little girl named Hanan. She would be a teenager today, or close to it. I met a girl there, not the little girl, but a little, our translator. And she was much like that pastor, Muhammad, that Rick talked about. She said to the Lord, you know, I'm going to read the Quran and I'm going to read the Bible. And you tell me which is true. And in the end, probably know the answer. She gave her life to Jesus because she read his love letter, cover to cover. She put out a scarlet cord, so to speak, in the window of her heart. And she was thrown out of her family. She was physically abused by her brothers. She was cut out of the will by her father. But she kept the scarlet cord in her window. I can relate with the comments that Juliana read earlier from the persecuted church. Wow. What boldness. In the midst of this girl was broken by the knowledge of the love of a Savior who accepted her just as she was. That she saw that. She desired that. And there's no amount of works, no amount of religious practices that can make us acceptable to Jesus. Nothing. In all the other religions, there's something that you have to do in order to be accepted. For us, it's belief. Just simply believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you, and you will be saved. So some of you, maybe you are that scarlet cord in your family. Maybe you haven't been there yet. Even had that boldness to put that scarlet cord outside the window. I would encourage you, this Christmas season, people need to see the scarlet cord. They need to see our faith in action. Action means so much more than just words. Do your neighbors know? Does the people in our community know that we love Jesus Christ? Love runs red, as some have said. It's an action word. Do you ever think for a minute that Jesus could have just said, your sins are forgiven, and he could have been zapped back up to heaven without having to go through all the sacrifice? No. You know how much flack he got from the Pharisees and the Sadducees after he healed people? He said, your sins are forgiven. We read it over and over and over and over again. It was more than words. It was actions and words, right? That there is power. There has to be an acceptance. There has to be a substitute, the ultimate substitute, to come and to take our sins, the sins of all humanity, in order that we will be forgiven. There is no forgiveness unless there's the shedding of blood. The Bible is very clear on that. So we need a perfect sacrifice. Jesus comes as a babe in a manger in order to die on the cross as our substitute. So what does that mean for us today? Well, as I said before, is there some windows that you need to put that scarlet cord out of? Is there some relationships that need to see that? Imagine with me again. For just a minute. I'm going to get a little loud, so, okay? Just prepare yourselves. Imagine over a million people shouting and singing all at the same time. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Are you with me? The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And it was a bit bigger crash than the elementary school coming tumbling down in town, right? You need a bigger backhoe, a bigger thing to, you know, Troy wouldn't be able to do that. Right, Troy? Well, pretty close. You could maybe get the Jericho walls half down. I'll give you some credit, right? Vandell and Holmes got some good power there, but still couldn't do it all, right? But imagine this massive... You read the measurements. Go and read them in Joshua chapter 2. The measurements of this wall is massive. This is a huge wall. Right? And there's this little red cord dangling out the window as the walls come a-tumbling down. What's Rahab thinking at that very moment? What's Rahab thinking? Can you imagine with me for a second? Where is her mind at? Where will our minds be at? Only her and her family were saved. Wow. Do we serve a mighty God? We serve a mighty God. Folks, listen. Our world is crumbling in immorality. Our world is crumbling around us as the walls of Jericho were crumbling. Think. Is our scarlet cord out there? I'm thankful that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can walk out in the horribleness of immorality within our society. And say, yes, I am Christ's. I am a child of God. Fear no longer has a hold on me. Yes, I'm open about my brokenness. It is through my brokenness that others are drawn. But that we can walk out in the midst of a crumbling society and say, I have the way. Because I believe in the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus. He gives purpose. He gives us a way to walk in the midst of and in spite of all that the world may bring against us. We can have peace in Jesus Christ. We can have purpose in Jesus Christ. We can have acceptance. It's nothing that we have done, but we receive Him. We walk out with Him. We have hope in Him. I love my Jesus. Do you love your Jesus? This world needs more of Jesus. Needs more of the scarlet cords in the window, so to speak. That as everything crumbles around us, and folks, the Bible says it, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. But we win in the end. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to have his rule and reign on this earth. And he wants us, his agents of hope, to go out. Because he wants none to perish, but all to come to eternal life. So I want to encourage you today. Are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling like the world's crushing in on you? Put your faith in Christ, the scarlet cord. Put your faith in Christ. As that girl did in North Africa. As Pastor Muhammad did. As many of you have done. But if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I just feeling like I can't do it anymore. Feeling hopeless. Feeling like, oh, I put my scarlet cord out there and feel like someone just wants to tie me up in it. Just feeling just down. Come to Jesus. Come to him. He'll give you, renew your hope. Renew your strength. Maybe you're feeling tired and weary this Christmas season. Maybe you're feeling like your past is just encroaching on your present so much that you can't and you don't feel like you have a future. That's a lie. You have a future. You have a hope. Today, receive him. His name is Jesus. He wants to walk with you. He's one who sticks closer than a brother. He wants to give you everything. Because he did give his everything for you. Lord Jesus, if there are some here today that just feel that their life is crushing in on them, their past, they're just crying out, please, Lord, help, whatever it may be. They're looking into a Christmas season of loneliness or brokenness yet again, or maybe for the first time. Lord, I pray that there are some here that have not said yes to you, Jesus. That today would be the day. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, Lord, you say, come, come. So, Lord Jesus, I ask that there are some here like that. Do you simply come and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my Lord, my Savior, my hope this Christmas season. I believe in you. I believe that you came as a baby, that you died on a cross, and you didn't stay dead, but you rose again, conquering the two greatest walls in all of history and all of humanity, sin and death. For me, I believe that, Jesus, and I want to be your friend forever. Oh, Lord Jesus. You believe that today, if you believe that for the first time today, that that scarlet cord is coming out of your window. And there's going to be change in your life and change in the life of your family. Father, I pray also for those who, maybe for some of us, have been believers all our lives or for as long as we can remember. And this season of Christmas comes and goes and it maybe doesn't evoke a lot of change. Doesn't evoke a lot of anything. It's just kind of a going through the motions. I pray that we would get off that motion train and get on to the school of the Spirit that wants to teach us and renew us and refresh us and encourage us to new heights. Oh Lord, if there are those who are tired and weary here this morning, just doing life, doing Christianity, but not seeing the transformation. Lord, I ask that you would relieve that burden. May they know, may we all know once again, afresh and anew, that you are the hope of the nations. Of your government of peace, there will be no end. No matter what government falls, what government gets elected, you are still on the throne. You are still the Prince of Peace. Of your government of peace, there will be no end. Thank you, Jesus. So fill my brethren and sistren today with hope, a hope of something greater, a hope of something better, and that we would go from this place filled with that hope, that desire to see our town, our families changed for eternity. Help us, Lord, please, to show that scarlet cord out our windows this Christmas Eve. Thank you, Lord. In the midst of all that's crumbling around us, we look to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come.